on today's episode of Bed Bath & Beyond, Andy and Ian talk MLB, we move into the NFL, and then I make Ian play a sports gambling game. We round out the show with some NFT talk. You're not going to want to miss it.
3, 2, 1, go. I am Ian Peacock.
And I am Andy Heidemann, and I hate sports betting.
No matter what you say, I'm betting $100 on it tonight. Hello.
Hello.
It's you.
No. This is why you don't do the intros. This is why you're not allowed to do the intros, because you fumble it every single time. You're supposed to be.
It was your turn. What are you?
Welcome to Bed Bath & Beyond.
Brought to you by B3T
How hard
Sports.
Is that?
I wasn't
How hard
doing
is that?
I wasn't doing any of that.
Hello.
I said hello. And
hello.
Then you know what you said? Nothing. 12 seconds of silence.
Hello.
Come How on. How was your Thursday?
It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. It's been a long day. I got kickball tonight. I'm gonna hit a couple dingers. Gonna kick a couple dingers.
Good.
Cubs are losing right now to the Brewers, so it's as good as it
tradition.
Can. It's as good as it can get.
Do you want to talk about baseball? Do you want to start talking about baseball?
Yeah, let's talk about baseball first. Cubs released Jake Arrieta. He was part of the 2016 World Series team. Great pitcher. Jake the Snake, we call him in town. Then he left. Went to the Phillies. Then he came back, had a nice little homecoming, a nice little reunion with everyone. Then we got rid of Rizzo. Then we got rid of Bryant and Baez and a bunch of other good players. And then we let him go today. We released him. The Cubs released Jake the Snake Arrieta.
How old is he?
35, I think.
Okay. Now I ask that.
I think 35.
Not being able
I'm going
to
go with
35. Because I don't know the age at which a baseball player loses. I could tell you the age at which NFL players by position lose their value. I have no
He's
idea
a pitcher,
he
dude.
Value.
He's a pitcher.
Is he cooked?
He is cooked. He's a little cooked.
Okay, no, that's why I'm seriously. That's why I'm wondering. That's like an informative question I am asking.
Yeah, he's a little cooked.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that his nickname is what is it? Jake the Snake?
Jake the Snake Arrieta.
That's great because we're also going to talk about cup snakes. You know what those are, right?
Of course I know what those are. Actually,
of course you do.
I know what those are. I'm surprised you know what those are because you've never been to a baseball game before.
No, I have not. But I remember last year when the pandemic was right when they first started letting sports come back, you know, that was something that everyone talked about in baseball. It was like, oh, we're not going to get cup snakes. So I was like, what the fuck is everyone talking about? Because it wasn't a couple people. Everybody was talking about cup snakes, and I had I had looked it up then, and it hasn't come back until now. I was browsing ESPN, and they had an article about apparently $30,000 in beer was spent trying to make like the some of the like longest cup snakes, I guess. There's a video. We'll end up putting it up on the screen here for you guys to see.
Put it up. Put it up for everyone.
Well, I will. I definitely will. But what I need to know is, have you ever been a part of a cup snake?
I have never been a part of a cup snake. I have seen them in real life, in person, at Cubs games. They're electric. It gets the entire crowd going. I will say they were always banned. It wasn't just because of COVID last year. They've always been banned. In fact, it's been really funny. In previous years, you have to be really quick because someone's going to spot them. Some employee of the stadium is going to come running over and try to dismantle everything.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So they've always... that? I don't fucking know. It's fun haters, dude. Buzz Killingtons. Huh? Just they don't want people to have fun at baseball games. So now they've done the right thing. And they've actually allowed people and even encouraged them by, you know, cheering them on, people taking highlights, people taking snaps, ESPN showing it as part of their top 10. Like now people are actually getting behind the movement. It was always fun. Always fun to do.
It was always fun.
Always fun to do. Always a crowd. It's like the wave, right?
Yeah.
At stadiums. Everybody loves to do the waves. It's a nice movement. It gets everybody together. There's sometimes baseball games can get a little boring. They can drag on. Cup snakes, the wave, and throwing balls back onto the field
to get you back into it.
And throwing balls back onto the field when the opposing team hits a home run, those keep the game exciting outside of the game of baseball. I'm glad that cup snakes are back and they're legal now. And I'm glad.
Legal tender.
Yeah. And then they also realized, oh, wait, people are spending $30,000 worth of beer to be a part of this. Why are we trying to stop this again? Why were we against this from the very beginning?
Well, this goes back. We talked about this early episodes. We talked about it in the middle of like our season. Like, just baseball needs some changes in the sense of like they're just not modernizing. You know, they need some updates to the way that they run their org, and they want people to be involved. And now this leads into our next topic. Actually, did you see Portnoy tweeted about Barstool being able to, they're working on a deal with the MLB to broadcast baseball games.
I did see this. Portnoy's always That's up to so his good. Old bag of tricks. That is very cool.
It's good for baseball.
Buy Penn stock. Not financial advice, but buy Penn stock if you think that's good news for Barstool. It's obviously good news for Barstool. They've continued to kind of climb the media ladder. They're a media giant now. And this just takes them one step above.
Dude, so I know good for them. There was another. I was looking. We're gonna throw the tweet up here so way you guys can see it. But as I was searching for that tweet earlier today, The Onion posted an article that was like, MLB hopes to rehabilitate image with Barstool Sports, which is like a really funny headline. And
yes,
Dave Portnoy quote tweeted it. He's like, I thought about buying The Onion once. He's like, didn't do it. And it was really fucking funny. Dave's funny. He's kind of a scumbag, but he's
not, you know what I mean? He's a scumbag, but he's a douchebag. Maybe not the right word. He's a douchebag.
Yeah. There you go.
He's a, I feel like he's a pretty, he's an honest guy. Well, he's an honest guy. A scumbag is someone I think who lies to people, says one thing to somebody, stabs them in the back or lies to them. Dave's been pretty upfront pretty much his whole career. he comes across as an asshole because he probably is an asshole. He's a multimillionaire that's in the spotlight 24/7. I'm an asshole and I'm not even rich or famous. So there you go.
What's your excuse? All right. So the final thing about baseball is tonight, if you're watching this, it happened yesterday, they're playing a game on the Field of Dreams.
Yes. Yeah, yes, but
in the cornfields, baby.
But did you hear? I heard this on the radio when I went to Target the other day. Don't know how true this is, so let's fact check this. Let's have our B3T analysts fact check this. I'm pretty sure the Yankees are supposed to play there, and I'm pretty sure my boy, Anthony Rizzo, who was just traded to the Yankees not too long ago, was supposed to play in the Field of Dreams game. He has COVID. So
I did not hear that.
I heard this on the radio. I don't know if it's true. We'll fact check it. And if it's somehow wrong, we'll bleep this whole thing out. We'll just everything I'm saying right now is just one long bleep.
Audio listeners would fucking hate that. All right.
I think everyone would hate that. Even the video listeners.
Like, I could put shit up on the screen for video, and it's just like, oh, okay. Like, here's this long beep, but here's Anthony Rizzo hitting dingers. Like, for
that
10
actually
seconds
is cool.
Straight.
Can we do that? Can we do that?
We can, but I'm not going to bleep out your fucking.
Well, only if he doesn't have COVID. Only if he doesn't have COVID.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no. Okay. That's fair. Yeah, no.
I'm pretty sure he has COVID.
That's baseball. You have anything else baseball wise?
No, just that the Cubs aren't good and that kind of sucks, but you need to come to Chicago so we can finally go to a Cubs game before the season ends. That I'm going to say that every time. Every time you say.
There's 50 games left, so I got a little bit of time.
Every time you say, you got anything else for baseball? Hey, Ian, you got anything else for baseball? I'm going to say, yeah, come to Chicago so we can go to a Cubs game.
All right. That's true. That's fair. I'll take full responsibility for that. There is no basketball news. Basketball is dead. It is over. Do not worry about it. Until
as it should
year.
Be.
We're going to talk NFL now.
Okay. Whoa. Yeah, no, bottom of the barrel.
No. This is all great stuff.
I know.
Great stuff.
I know. And then let me get ahead. No, Andrew. I know. Let me get ahead of it.
Don't do it.
Let me get ahead of it. Let me get ahead of it because I know it's going to come up. We've already talked about it earlier today. Rashad Bateman, who is our first.
Oh.
What?
I thought you were going somewhere else with this. I thought you were going to sit here and try to tell me you didn't watch Hard Knocks, which I'm guessing that's the next thing you're going to tell me.
Let's get over this this hurdle first, and then we'll tackle the next hurdle. The first hurdle is that Rashad Bateman, who was our first round draft pick in this year's draft, he has to get groin surgery, so he's going to be out expected until end of September.
Yeah.
And listen, if it weren't for past players that shouldn't be named, Brashad Perryman, who we also picked late in the first round, similar to Rashad Bateman.
Right.
And then he got hurt and then pretty much didn't play his entire rookie season. I would probably just chalk this up as like a fluke accident. Listen, he'll be back by week 4 and we'll be good to go. We still got Sammy Watkins. We still got Hollywood Brown. We still got Boykin.
Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews, our tight end, who's our number one receiver. We still have Lamar's got weapons, right? Lamar's got weapons.
Yeah.
However, this is a huge blow if for whatever reason it takes longer for the healing process to happen, because I've seen this episode before. I've seen this movie before. I know how it ends. All of a sudden we're saying he'll be back by week 4 and he just sits out the entire season.
That also could happen. It's interesting.
Put up a picture of Rashad Bateman's groin while I'm talking, by the way. Make sure you zoom in of Rashad Bateman's groin, because I know it is groin surgery. So that makes sense.
You mean Bateman?
That's what I said.
Oh, okay. So my thing with him,
wait, what do I say?
I thought you said Perryman is what I thought you said.
No, I meant Rashad Bateman.
They'll get it. They'll know what you meant. The thing with him and his groin surgery is this is actually not terrible news. I mean, it sucks, but speculation when we first heard about what could have hurt him was a core injury. Those things take a long time to recover, and groins aren't always better, but the fact that it's been identified and they came out with the timeline. A lot of these soft tissue injuries, they'll come out with month like estimates, not week estimates. They said 4 weeks, that put him at the end of September. I think that this is better than what maybe we would have expected to hear, but
I want you to respond to certain comments made today in the B3T Sports Slack channel about trading. This is coming from a Ravens fan, a supposed Ravens fan, who once hearing the news about Bateman's surgery, wanted to trade for Michael Thomas. I want you to address those comments.
So here's the thing. I think that if anyone can trade for Michael Thomas and he wants to play there and they don't give their whole fucking future for him, I think they should do it, because it's clear to me that
That's the safest answer I've ever heard. It's like, if it makes sense and he wants to play there and it's not too expensive,
let me run through it. Because what I'm saying is it's very clear that he doesn't want to play for the Saints. I don't even know if his fucking injury timeline is true. You got to remember, none of the reports that you are hearing right now are mandated by the league to be true. You could say whatever the fuck you want. You do not have to release an official injury report. So, I mean, like, this could all be speculation. That doesn't start, I don't know when the official date is, but that doesn't start for like at least a couple more weeks when you have to announce things on the injury report. For example, do you know Darren Waller hasn't practiced in 6 days?
Raiders? I did not know that.
And he,
I will not be drafting him.
Well, here's the thing. He's walking out there every day in a hoodie, and John Gruden said something like, I quote, "We think he's going to be all right." What the fuck does that mean, John? Like, people are going to try drafting this dude. I know they don't give a fuck about fantasy, but I'm just saying, like, that shit drives me nuts. But back to your Michael Thomas thing, this whole thing, like, who knows what his actual injury is until we get an actual report. I can't speculate on the time length or anything like that. I know that he wasn't happy with them. I know that he ghosted them for like 4 weeks. He's like, hey, I want to do the safe thing. Let's get rehab going. Didn't show up to rehab, apparently. Came back to the fucking team and was like, I guess I need surgery now, and they're all pissed off, which
sounds a little toxic.
Totally his choice as an athlete. Like, he could do, you know what I mean? Like, if
sounds like not
wait,
a team player.
Sounds like not a team player. That's, I would fucking agree with that. But his talent is there. If you get full,
Is his talent still there? How do we know his talent is still there?
He played hurt all last year. Those reports were true. I mean, like, those came through the official injury report. They had him on the sheets. Obviously, he's getting surgery now for something. It's not like he's just doing it for fun. He had an injury. And obviously, it was Drew Brees' last year. He wanted to try to be out there. I think that was a dumb career move. I understand wanting to play with Drew Brees. But think about, you're so young and you just got a massive contract. I mean, because here's the thing. He's like 2 years removed from that massive contract. This will be the third year, I want to say. If doesn't play football again, he's not going to get paid again. So he's going to have to fucking play if he wants that money. So
I'm just saying there are certain wide receivers that I'm sort of looking at a different lens after last season. And I know Michael Thomas was injured.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some wide receivers that I look at with a different lens who used to be top of the NFL. They used to be top five in my book. I'm talking about Julio Jones being one of them. Julio, I'm talking about AJ Green being one of them.
That was sad.
I think Michael Thomas might be one of those players that has
had that old.
He's not that old, but injuries can plague a player once you start getting them. If he doesn't like, if he's for whatever reason not a team player, for whatever reason he doesn't like the organization, for whatever reason he's getting injured multiple times in 1 year. Those are the kinds of things where I'm like, okay, like, yes, he's very good, but do we want him on our team? Do we want, is he the same Michael Thomas that he was 2 or 3 years ago? That's all I'm saying.
So, yeah. So, and this goes, let's roll this into our next topic. There are players holding out. Obviously, there are players who hold out every year. Sometimes they're stars. Sometimes they're, you know, they're role players, but they're doing it for their contracts. The NFL changed the rules this year. So now when you hold out, for every day you don't show up to something mandatory, you lose $50,000. Doesn't seem like a whole, doesn't seem like a crazy amount of money for these NFL players.
I mean, it depends on much, depends how much you're getting paid. Depends how much.
Yeah, it depends how much. Yeah. So like now there is a couple, there are a couple questions here. Like one, like, do you think that's right? That I mean, obviously the NFL Players Association had to have signed off on it. There's no way it would have gotten added if they didn't sign off on it. Right.
Right.
So some people in the org who are representing the players said, yeah, we're fine with this. That being said, that's a lot of, I mean, in general, to me, that's a lot of fucking money. The way players are getting around it is they're showing up to camp and they're going, my leg hurts. And they're there. They're just not doing anything. Right. But that's why Deshaun has been at camp. That's why TJ Watt has been at camp. That's, you know, all these players who are looking for contract extensions are showing up, but then they're just getting wrapped and they're going to the training room. How do you feel about this as a fan and as somebody who like likes the NFL?
About the sit outs, about people holding out, and about the NFL penalizing them $50,000 a week, or is it a day?
Yep. It's a day, I believe.
Yeah, I know. That sounds ridiculous. That sounds absolutely ridiculous. Listen, I think it's going to be hard for me to say, like, I'm not even trying to play it safe. I never play it safe, but it's just going to be hard for me to answer that question without knowing a specific context. Because on one hand, I feel for the players, specifically running backs. Like, I was honestly in favor of Le'Veon Bell sitting out an entire one season.
Right, yeah, I was too.
Specifically, well, it was an added bonus that I'm a Ravens fan and fuck the Steelers. So that was nice. But as also at the same time, you got to protect yourself and you got to make sure that you got to make as much money as you can in a very short time window to last the rest of your life.
Your most valuable asset.
Exactly. You have grown up playing like football. You know what you were going to do. You're one of the 0.0001% that made the league and is also a star in the NFL. I support players trying to get as much money as possible. Now,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm also not, I'm also a fan of being like having integrity. And if you're saying, hey, like, this is still part of my contract, then it's a weird thing. I think that as the sport grows and as people kind of start realizing that they don't have that much time, especially depending on the position that you have, you're going to see contracts being restructured very, very like short time frames, maybe a year.
You know, and it, And it's just, and it's a market, just like any other market. I mean,
exactly.
Prices get adjusted, prices get changed. I mean, it's just like a job. I mean, if you have a job and you sign a contract with an employer, somebody comes along and offers you a raise, I mean, like, you can take it. You can't do that in the NFL. If somebody wants to pay you more than what you're getting and you're on contract with, like, if somebody wanted to pay Kittle an obscene amount of money, more than, like, make him the top tight end ever in money, he couldn't because he's under contract with the 49ers. They would have to trade him. Right. You don't get that. I mean, now, in some fields, you have non-competes. Oh, you're right, where it's like if you're a lawyer at a firm and then you leave, like, you can't practice law in that city for, like, 6 to 18 months or whatever the fuck your non-compete says.
Non-competes are the dumbest fucking thing in the entire world.
They are.
I fucking hate non-competes.
But anyway, I was just curious to get your opinion on that. I am in the same boat. I think that you should be able to sit out as a player. Obviously, you have to know the consequences, but they usually do. You know, it's like if I'm sitting out, I'm going to miss games. I'm going to potentially save my body, but I'm not going to get to debut my, like, if you're on a contract year and that's why you're sitting out the next year, like, if you come back and the team's like, all right, you're gone, we'll release you, that's fair game, and other teams would be like, we didn't see you play for a whole year, like, yeah, you know. So anyway, okay, so moving away from that, we got two quarterback controversies coming up, one we've talked about
two. Let's go. let me guess who they are. They're Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, no. And Aaron Rodgers.
That'd be great, but no.
Okay.
That for once, we're not talking about those two quarterbacks in the fucking NFL universe. So Jameis and Taysom still has not been announced who's the starter.
It's going to be Jameis. Come argument. On, let's quit fooling around.
You think it'll be Jameis?
I think Jameis will start this season. Even if they go with Taysom, I think that Jameis will become the starter.
Oh, okay.
And honestly,
do you think he'll end the season the starter?
Well, I don't know about that. I think I don't have faith. I don't have faith in either of those two quarterbacks to be a long-term starter. So basically, what I'm saying is, whoever starts the season first, the other person's going to get a shot because it's not like Taysom's going to take over and then play the entire season as the starter. And then the same with Jameis. He's not. He's a 30 for 30 club. 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions.
Yeah. I think if Jameis can reel it in, he is a first-round talent. He has great, like, ball strength.
Got LASIK. I mean,
like, arm strength.
Got LASIK surgery.
He got LASIK, so he can see now. I just, it's really tough because, you know, you can't say, well, he's, yeah, exactly. You can't say he's young anymore. Like, that was a thing he could skate on for literally seasons. Be like, he's learning. You know, come on. Give him a sec. He's not learning anymore. He is a seasoned veteran of the NFL, and he fucking throws interceptions like it's his job. And it turns out his job is the opposite of that. So I think that they're definitely going to start with Taysom. The problem is, I feel like without Michael Thomas, they're going to have to basically redesign that offense to put the ball into Taysom's hands and Kamara's hands
in
a way that they haven't done before.
They did all right with Taysom last season without Michael Thomas when Drew Brees had all his ribs broken. I just don't have faith in Taysom long term. That's the only thing.
That's the thing. When you look at that play, because you're right, they didn't do poorly when he played without Michael Thomas. But the thing is that watching them play, their playbook looked so much smaller. Like, formations were not nearly as expansive. If you were going to run 17 games that way, I feel like you'd have a real hard time in the NFL. Now, they could definitely expand on that. But again, this is also Taysom's very first year doing nothing but QB stuff. Every other year, he's done tight end stuff, special teams. I mean, he
running
did some
back,
QB stuff.
Kickers,
no,
punting.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know. I wanted to get your take on that. And then also, Urban fucking Meyer, the dumbest coach in the NFL currently, came out and said,
that's really hard because he just joined the NFL.
Yeah, I know. You'd think that would be tough. But, Adam Gase is, like, not a head coach anymore. So, I mean, I can't.
John Gruden's up there,
so,
too.
But John Gruden, though, I like his personality at least. Like, whenever I would listen to Adam Gase talk, I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. But, and I hope you see this. I really do. So Urban Meyer came out and said, there's an open QB contest right now between Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew.
Makes sense.
What is this to you, though? Is this true? Do you think this is true?
No, Andrew, they have to say that. They have to say
that. Do they?
They do.
This isn't college where you're like, I'm trying to trick the other team before the big game.
No, it's not. It has nothing to do with psyching out the other team. It has everything to do with making sure Trevor Lawrence knows that he could lose the position at any time, so he doesn't think he's a Mr. Hotshot number one overall. It's not for the other team. It's for his team, and he has to make sure that he puts Trevor Lawrence's ego on check. It's the oldest trick in the book. It's literally the oldest trick in the book. Of course, Trevor Lawrence is going to start.
Well, okay, good. Well, I mean, I'm glad we're in agreement there, because there's some people, you know, obviously people who hear this go, Gardner Minshew's pretty good. I like Gardner Minshew. I love the jorts. I love the Bush Light and the camper.
He's not that good, though.
He's okay. Yeah, no, I mean, he's not like, he's probably not. He might be NFL starter, like bottom NFL starter, like, you know, out of 32 teams.
He is Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's someone who is very inconsistent. And when they're good, they're very good. But they also have some pretty big lows. But they're good enough to kind of hover around the starting position in the NFL for the team that needs a quarterback bad.
Let's play a game really quick. You want Gardner Minshew or Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones.
You want Gardner Minshew or Andy Dalton?
Oh, fuck. Probably. That's a tough one. And I don't think Andy Dalton's a starting quarterback, but I'll go with Gardner Minshew.
All right. Gardner Minshew or Sam Darnold?
God damn. These are hard.
I know. But I'm serious. I want to kind of get an idea for like where. Because Sam Darnold is a starting QB in the NFL. I mean, he's
for
like,
your team.
You know, right. I fucking know. Don't remind me. And then we've got Daniel Jones, who is like a reach for the fucking Giants. God, I'm swearing a lot.
He has his moments.
He fumbles a fuck ton. All right. Do you have an answer?
I'd rather have Gardner than Sam Darnold.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So that's where we're at with Gardner. The other thing I can see, though, I guess as you were talking, it made me realize that, yeah, maybe it's for Trevor Lawrence. It might also be for Gardner to be like, come on, don't like give up hope. Like, you are in an open contest with this guy. Like, you might have a chance to start. I mean, you don't want to like have your backup QB lose all fucking morale. If he has to go in, that's going to be, that could not be good. So, yeah. Okay. The final thing that we're going to talk about before we play a game, a sports gambling game.
A sports gambling game. Andy, I don't gamble anymore.
You're about to. Okay. So do you think, based on the Seahawks as a franchise and what you've known them in the last couple of years, Russell Wilson is a top what QB to you?
Top 10.
Top 10 for sure. I would say definitely top 10. Do you think that they are wasting his prime over the last like 2 years? I mean, I know like...
Because they won't let him cook?
Yeah, because they fight like last year specifically, he started off on fire, absolutely. He is a phenomenally accurate passer. He can use his legs to run. He can make decisions. He's like rumored to be one of the only QBs besides Rodgers who will make like pre-snap decisions after the mic gets shut off in your helmet from your offensive coordinator. I mean, and he has success with it. So what I want to know is, why are they a run first team all the time when they've got Lockett and Metcalf and fucking Russell Wilson? And why would they fire the offensive coordinator that they had last year, who was letting him do all the passing that he wanted? Do you think they're wasting his prime years with this kind of strategy?
Well, let's get the first thing out of the way. The reason why they're a run first team is because they have never gotten over the Super Bowl with New England. Never. Pete Carroll will die, will go to his grave with that play, with that that play on the 1 yard line when they should have just ran Marshawn Lynch down the throat, however many times it was going to take to get into the end zone, and they passed it and it got intercepted. Now, do I think that Russell Wilson's talent is getting wasted in Seattle? I actually don't. I really don't. Okay. I watched them play last year and they did let him cook. They did let him cook last year and that he did really well. In fact, he was MVP. People were talking about him potentially, front runner MVP for at least the first 4 or 5, maybe even 6 games. Everyone's like, oh, Russ cooking, let's go MVP. Because you know how early on.
I'll even, Dude, do you remember week four of last year? It was the Sunday night game. It was Seattle versus Carolina, or not Carolina, versus New England. It was like Cam's first like primetime game since getting traded.
Yes.
And Russ was like on MVP. That was such an electric fucking game.
But
was
he did
so fun to watch.
He did fall off a little bit towards the later half of the season. I like Pete Carroll. I think they're a good team overall. Obviously they've been to what, two Super Bowls? They've won one Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I see how other organizations are being run, and I wouldn't say that Russell Wilson would have better luck at another franchise. Maybe a few, obviously. Obviously, there are smarter, more competent teams out there that probably could use him better, but not a lot of them. There's a lot of incompetent teams. I think Seattle's fine. I think Seattle's fine.
Pete Carroll is so old.
He's like 75.
No, he's 69, but he is old as fuck. Okay. That's it. I want to get your opinion on that. Also, I'm getting like all these takes because I want to ride them into football season. Obviously, Hard Knocks was on Tuesday night. I watched that. It was really fun.
Very good. Very good episode. Ten out of ten.
Yeah, I bet you watched it, huh? They focus mostly on Dak and Zeke. They're Micah Parsons, their rookie linebacker, who I was looking at him and I was like, he doesn't look that big. I looked at him up and he's like 6'3", 245. I'm like,
that's a big boy.
That dude's fucking, he's huge. So, okay. We'll talk more about Hard Knocks when it starts to matter a little bit, when they start making cuts and all that sort of stuff.
Are we going to play the game?
We're going to move on to the game. Yep.
All right.
So I have here, you can't see these, but I've got here all 32 teams, DraftKings over under win totals. I have a couple that I'm going to go over here. And then if there's one that you want to know specifically, I'll pull it for you.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a team and you're going to guess what the line is. And then after I tell you the line, you're going to tell me if you take over under. All right.
So wait, hold on. So I understand perfectly, you're going to give me a team like the Ravens and I'm going to guess that DraftKings them has their win at 10 wins this season. And I'm going to guess over under.
Oh, so first off, you're going to say 10. I'm going to let you know that you were very close. They have them at 11.
Okay.
Right. So the first part's going to be the hardest because getting an exact number. But so they have an 11. So you missed by one. However, are you over or under 11 wins for the Ravens this season?
Over.
Over. Okay. I'll take that. So here, that's how this game will work. So we're going to start off by going with a team that should be kind of funny just because we're going to go with the Detroit Lions.
This is also going to be a little hard for me because I don't know their schedule.
That's fair. I mean, I'll give you that.
Keep that in mind while I'm doing these. The Detroit Lions, I would put over under 7 wins.
They have them at 4.5 wins.
I'd take over. I would take over.
You would take the over. Interesting.
I would. Okay. I have faith in Jared Goff.
I do not. I would honestly like, I don't have the odds in front of me because I didn't want to like boggle up this sheet, but I think I might actually take the under. I think the Lions are, a poor front office. They don't have a good coaching staff. They haven't had a good coaching staff in literally 7 years. They haven't had a good running back for.
What was their record last year? And you're doing Swift like that? Swift's a good running back.
He's hurt. He's currently not playing. He hasn't practiced, I don't think, in like 6 days.
No, that's Darren Waller, Andrew.
That is also Darren Waller. what is their record last year? That's a good question. I don't have it off the top of my head. Let me see here.
Because I would imagine they do just as... Like, honestly, I would bet that they
wasn't good.
One game better. They get one more win than they won last year.
Last year, they were... Oh, fucking, why would you do that? They were 5-11.
So I would put them at 6. I'd put them at 6 wins. So let me go back. I still take the over. 4.5, yeah, I still take the over.
All right, next up, we've got the Saints.
Without Noodle
currently.
And Noodle Arm Breeze.
No Slant Boy, no Breeze.
I bet that they have the Saints... I mean, they still have a good coach. Sean Payton's a good coach. They still have Kamara. I bet they put him at 8 wins.
They have them at 9 wins. So you'll take the over, I'm guessing?
No, I would take the under of 9.
You would take the under of nine?
Because
I'm definitely,
I would guess
eight. I think the Saints are going to be bad.
Well, then we're on the same page. I was just guessing eight as like the line.
Sure, is what they have them at.
And if you're, if typically if I'm going to guess the line and the real line is over, I'm going to take the under.
Sure. I definitely think that they're not going to be very good. We got the Patriots.
This is, I think we already talked about this because it was like seven or eight.
Well, that's what they won last year. They won seven games last year.
I bet they have them at eight.
They have them at 9.5.
Under.
I'm also going to take the under, but I do love that line from them as a business opportunity, because everyone's going to bet the over because
they have Hunter Henry and they have fucking other people.
Well, just because they're the Patriots, everyone's going to come into that, see that, and go, I'll take the over. They're the Patriots. That hasn't worn off yet. You know what I mean?
They were terrible last year. They were terrible.
They weren't terrible last year. They got seven wins with half their defense and Cam Newton. I'm telling you that they were not terrible last year.
They're terrible in comparison. Terrible is a relative term. I'm using terrible in comparison to what they've done before Tom Brady. I mean, with Tom Brady.
All right, so we've got two more that I really want to hit. The Houston Texans.
Two.
Four. honestly, low is good.
I'm taking the under. I'm taking the under.
Under four. I'm also going to take the under. Unless Deshaun Watson comes back to play at any point. Then I would reassess.
Still taking
as of right
under.
Now, I'm taking
still taking the under.
The LA Rams.
Oh, my God, dude. They're probably sucking Stafford's dick. I bet they have them at 10 wins.
They have them at 10.5 wins.
So I'm going to take the under. The LA Kings of Fraudland live on. I don't care if Jared Goff and Stafford switch places. The LA Kings of Fraudland will get under 10 wins this season.
All righty. So that's that. Are there any that you're curious about while I have this pulled up?
I'm
curious
about the Steelers. I'm curious about the Steelers.
They've got the Steelers at 8.5.
I take the under. They got lucky as fuck last year, dude. They went 11-0. They were the worst 11-0 team in fucking sports history. I'm taking the under.
That's a really tough line for me. Obviously, as we're doing this is like gun to your head, have to be over under. But like,
Tomlin's a good coach.
He is a good coach, and he's never had a losing record.
Not till this year.
I mean, like, that's the thing. He can't tie anymore. He will either have a winning or a losing record with 17 games. That goes for all teams. Yeah, it's not just specifically Tomlin. That'd be fucking terrible. but anyway, I think that they could definitely go over 8.5. I think I might. I don't know. Big Ben's so old. I'll take the under. I'm going to take the under. Any more?
Yes, the Browns. Really, I'm just curious about
the division. I'll run you through. The Browns, they have at 10.5, and the Bengals, they have at 6.5.
The Browns at 10.5, I would take the under. And what's the Bengals?
6.5. So now you're getting this like some math where you're looking at like, okay, they have
to take the over. No, I wouldn't. Yeah. I'd take the under only because I see them losing to the Browns, the Steelers, and us every time we play.
All right, fair enough. Okay, that's NFL. Got nothing else. You want to talk about NFTs?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. All day, every day. That's my life. So one, I just put out an article on b3tsports.com. So first article that I wrote was about buying a Zed Run horse, figuring it out, going through all the steps. This is about racing, and it's not just, ooh, how do I race? How do I put my horse in a race? It's actually tips. I give some solid tips that I personally do with my own stable, a stable that has over 50 wins at an 11% win rate, which is pretty good. It's not the best, but it's good. Okay. So I spell out what I do in that article. Go to b3tsports.com to read it. To be honest, dude, I'm a little drained right now because I feel like all like the lack of sleep, the just the nonstop like activity that's going on in the NFT space, I kind of just have to like just chill out.
See,
It's overwhelming.
I'm sure you think about taking a break, but at the same time, it's tech and it's 2021. So like a week long break is like you'll come back, but I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know what you are.
Time moves so fast. I swear, I haven't even been in the space for 6 months, and it feels like years. It feels like I've been in the space for 2 years. I kid you not. That's just how fast it feels.
Do you think you're gonna die sooner? Is it taking years off your life?
Maybe right now, but the moves that I'm making hopefully will set me up so I don't have to be relax. So I don't have to be stressed the rest of my life, and I can retire or at least do what I love to do all day every day,
which is retire
as a job. Exactly. by the time I'm 40, that would be nice. So so maybe I'm paying
all got dreams.
I'm paying a little bit of a cost now. I do want, because I talk about Xcopy. Right. I talk about the artist Xcopy. I've been really big on Xcopy. He's one of my favorite artists. Pricing for his art pretty much is the same the last time I talked to him. However, there's a new artist that I want to talk about. His name is Manolo or Manoloid. He's Argentinian. It's a little hard for me to pronounce. I know how to type his name and spell it perfectly.
Is it Manoloid? But
I don't know if it's Manoloid.
Because it's funny because we had been talking about it in the B3T Slack space. And I had seen his name, because this is the first time I'd heard it pronounced, but I had seen his name spelled, and I say, like, when I was reading it, Manoloid is how I was reading it. But I definitely could be
wrong.
Yeah,
Manoloid, 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 Manoloid. His name's Manolo. Sure. Like, his real name's Manolo.
Oh, sure. Okay. So that would make a lot of sense.
Right? So, but he goes by the name Manoloid. We'll just say Manoloid for all intents and purposes. Well, for all intents and purposes. Chill the fuck out. He's he's been called a prodigy of generative art. His art is honestly amazing. Fuck Alec for thinking that he can do anything that Manoloid can do, because it's beautiful, the art that he makes. You can just type his name and type in Super Rare, which is a website that he puts his art in. Kate Voss, which is a Switzerland art gallery that showcases his works. I have been lucky enough to collect a good collection of his art since I've joined the space, and he's really starting to pop off. An example is that one of his artwork, it's called Uneasy Dream, I believe. It's on Feral File. It is a 1 of 75 edition, so there's 75 editions out there. They were sold originally for $75 a piece. One just sold for $23,000. So that was a $75 buy back in March, and then you sell it for $23,000 the same year.
That almost gets you a half day in the NFL.
That almost gets you a half day in the NFL.
Nice little half day, and you get to take
it. Now, imagine if you have a piece that's a 1 of 20 or a 1 of 10 or a 1 of 8. Right. I have them. have them. So I, to be honest with you, they're just in a cold wallet somewhere. They're in cold storage, which basically means I have in fact, here, I have a picture of it's a ledger, cold storage wallet, isn't connected to the internet. Basically I keep the seed phrase on that ledger. I don't type it into my computer or anything. If you want to look into it yourself, look at Ledger or Trezor.
I thought you were gonna say, if you want it, you have to kill me.
Yeah, well, you have to do that too. But basically my goal is to just collect that type of art. What are you doing?
Sorry, I went really blurry and I'm fixed.
So basically I'm putting all my future valuable art on a cold wallet, and just I kind of want to forget about it, to be honest with you. To be completely honest with you, I want to forget about it for the next 2 or 3 years, come back and see what these prices are selling for, because good art, premium art, I'm not talking about like the pump and dump 10K avatar projects that are currently being pushed on Twitter right now. I'm talking about blue chip, really good artists that just focus on their craft 24/7. They don't seek attention. They just do it for the love of art. I feel like those are the winners. Those are where you want to put your money in. Of course, you can make a lot of money flipping short-term pump and dump 10K projects, but at the same time,
but that's quality more, that's blue like chip more work. Art. I don't want to say it's more work. I feel like that's more, that's definitely more hands-on. Like if you are good at evaluating what you think is quality art, that you think is the blue chip stuff like you're referring to, then you know, that's a lot of work to identify it. But once you have it, you can kind of hold it's the long game, right? Now, right. Like doing the flipping stuff, I don't want to say it's easier or harder, but I feel like that's definitely more stressful because timing is so much like so
exactly.
crucial to
you,
it.
And you just, couldn't. Exactly. The timing is everything when it comes to that. And that's not what I'm really interested in. I'm interested right. in the long term. I've always been interested in the long term of NFTs, specifically the crypto art market, because art appreciates just like it does in the real world, in the digital world as well, usually faster because you can the liquidity of digital art is light years ahead of physical art, just because you can buy it in a second. And you don't have to wait for it or ship it or see the condition of it or pay insurance for it. It's just a quick transaction. So, yeah, that's what I've kind of been doing. It is stressful sometimes. It is exhausting. but it's fun at the end of the day. And hopefully the collection that I'm building is worth something someday because
yeah.
I put a lot of time into it.
Yeah, I hope so, too, because I'm living in your guest house. All right.
You and Casey, baby.
I think that is all we've got. Is there anything else you want to talk about as far as for the people?
There's a really cool game called Crypto Raiders. Please check it out. it's really fun.
Cool. Also, I didn't plug it when we were talking NFL, but I also have a fantasy football article up on the site, b3tsports.com. It's about the top 48 running backs, top 12 highlighted. It's for your benefit when you're trying to draft this year. So that way you can beat your office leagues. You can embarrass your father-in-law. You can do all those sort of things you normally do with fantasy football. Maybe even make a buck. So check that out. I think that's it. I think it's grapefruit time.
Grapefruit.
Normally you can only get this technique in one of my classes, but I wanted to share this with you because I believe every man should get grapefruited. When you grapefruit your man, it's going to feel as if you are giving him head and fucking him at the same time.
Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling.
Valentino summers and wave runners. Chains on my niggas like slave runners. Drug dealers anonymous. Valentino summers and wave runners. Chains on my niggas like slave runners. Drug dealers anonymous. How many Madonnas can that Mazda fit? My brick talk is more than obvious. It's ominous. Garage is the phantom. Ghouls, ghosts, and goblins. Blonde mohawk the collection. I'm Dennis Rodman.
No better feeling would he ever get than being grapefruited. No better feeling would he ever get.
Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling.
Time to hit the showers because baths are for babies.